Awesome. That was one of my grandpa's favorite songs, actually, when he was in, we did a hospice at home before he passed away. And when he would wake up in the morning, he'd be upset, he'd be mad. He says, "Why aren't I in heaven yet?" So, "Lord, take me home already." And so that's awesome to hear. Thank you. If I don't sound too well, it's not because I'm sick. My allergies hit me hard yesterday when I got on the airplane. And so I think the devil is trying to keep me from Texas, but ain't no devil going to stop me. I'll do my best. Please pray for me. Hopefully my voice will come back soon. If there's no more water under here, Pastor, that's why. If there's no more, I drunk it all, okay? Amen. Had a good time at lunch. We had a good eating, good chicken, good mashed potatoes. My favorite part was the banana pudding. That's always been my favorite dessert. And so that we had a good time. And now we're back here again. And then I just want to thank you, Pastor, for your hospitality. Thank you, church, just for being friendly and just reaching out to me. And I know more Johnson Stevens than I can count. So Ezekiel chapter 37, please. Ezekiel 37, we'll start there. We'll definitely make it a point to make it back here, maybe in June or maybe in August. I got no problem with the, I was talking with another church member here, and she has no problem with it being 50s, and I can't handle that. I was born and raised in Spain. It got about 110. Record high was 121 there in Spain. And then when I went to the States, I lived in Florida. It got pretty hot there. And so I love the heat. 89 degrees is my thrive temperature. I love that. Anything below 68 and I'm freezing. So Ezekiel 37, one of my favorite passages of scripture. I pretty much like all of the Bible, but this is one from as a kid. This is one of my favorite stories. We had as kids we had a cassette player. Yes, I do know what that is. And we had cassettes, and it was Sunday school songs that would play through the cassette, and we would just listen to it for hours and hours and hours. We'd rewind it, or we'd turn it around and rewind and go again. And one of the songs was, the foot bone connected to the leg bone. And I was always curious, why in the world is that song and a Sunday school song? And a Sunday school tape. It didn't make sense to me. Then I came across Ezekiel 37, and I was like, oh, that's why. That's why Ezekiel was probably the author of put the words to that music. I don't know. Ezekiel 37, we read the first 10 verses, and then we'll get into this thing, to our message this evening. Ezekiel 37, verses number 1. And the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which is full of bones, and caused me to pass me by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. And here's this phrase here. I want you to put that in the back of your head. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Keep that back of your head. We'll come back to that in a second. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone, and when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Here's the phrase again. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet in exceeding great army. This evening, we'll speak on this subject, a bone to pick with missions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day you've given us, Lord. Thank you for bringing us back here this evening. Lord, please be with my voice. Help to be strong. Help to be heard and to be understood. Lord, again, give me the wisdom to say the things I'm supposed to say and not say the things I'm not supposed to say. All these things I ask in your name. Amen. Now, a miraculous story, if not one of the I believe one of the greatest miracles in the Bible, other than arising from the dead by Jesus himself, when he died on the cross, took our sin, and then he rose again on the third day. But this is probably one of the second most miraculous events that happened. He took a lot of somethings that were supposed to be dead, which they were, put them together, breathed into them, and boom, they became alive, an exceeding great army. You're probably thinking, Brother Stephen, what does this got to do with missions? Well, thank you for asking. I'm going to answer that in about 30 minutes. So here we go. Ezekiel was a man. He's incredible. If you really just read through the book of Ezekiel, don't do it right now. We're in church right now. Do it when you get home. But if you read through the book of Ezekiel, God had him do some very strange things, and he said yes, sir, to all of them. No matter how silly it sounded, no matter how silly it made him look, how crazy it may be, he did everything God wanted him to do. And this was no different. God wanted him to go, and he knew. He said, I want you to go to the Valley of Dry Bones for the purpose of them living. And in the very beginning of the chapter, God asks him a question. When he gets there, God asked him, son of man, that's the name for Ezekiel. If you read this book, if he refers to son of man, that's Ezekiel. And God says, son of man, can these bones live? Now, I know Ezekiel was human, so he had human emotions. And sometimes we forget when we study the Bible that there were actually people. And you know, but I was thinking, Ezekiel responded in a much more mature way than I would have, honestly. He responds with, oh, Lord, thou knowest. If God brought me to a cemetery and he asked me, can these bones live? I probably responded with, they better not. I want them to stay there. And if they start moving, I'm leaving. I'm going the opposite direction. But no, God used Ezekiel to make something impossible become possible. Because there's no way on this earth that a bone, a dead corpse, could ever become alive. But when God was involved, and when Ezekiel allowed God to use him, and when Ezekiel obeyed every step of the way, he got to see the impossible be made possible. Amen. Now, hold your place there. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Jesus is about ready to ascend to heaven. He was already resurrected, and he's giving some last-minute instructions to his disciples. And for those who've been in church a while, this is what we call the Great Commission. This is what missions is pretty much founded on. But in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, it says this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now here we see all the steps pretty much when it comes to worldwide evangelism. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's spreading the gospel. The good news that Jesus saves. And then it says here, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. It has to do with biblical baptism, immersing them, showing that, hey, I am identifying with Christ. And then there's the third step. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. That's discipleship. After they've been saved, take them in. Teach them how to be a Christian. Teach them how to study their Bible. Teach them how to pray. Teach them and so on and so forth. And Jesus says, I want you to go into all the world and do all of that. But Stephen, are you saying that I'm supposed to go to all the world and not only just preach the gospel, but also to baptize them and then also to disciple them? 8.2 billion people. I'm supposed to do all of that? Yes. Amen. But Stephen, that's impossible. You know what else was impossible? Bones living. And with the power of God, that became possible. So let's talk about how the impossible can become possible. Go back to Ezekiel 37. We'll see some similarities in this. And I love reading the Old Testament, because you can use that examples and you can see principles of the Old Testament and then it being explained or applied in the New Testament as well. I love to see that. So Ezekiel chapter 37, number one, we see the mandate of missions. The mandate of missions. Ezekiel went wherever God wanted him to go. And the only reason why Ezekiel could see the Lord work, the only reason why we see that Ezekiel could be used is because he was in the center of God's will. Wherever he was in the place where he was supposed to be. Hey, when we're in church on Sundays, we're supposed to be here. How do we expect the Lord to work through us if we're not in our places? God's calling me to Spain. If I don't go, how else am I supposed to see the hand of the Lord work through me? I'm not where I'm supposed to be. We see in Matthew, go ye therefore. And we see Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit. Ezekiel was where God wanted him to be. God called Ezekiel to this valley of dry bones. He called me to the country of Spain. God has a calling for your life to go. Now, it may be to your families, and maybe to your neighbors. It may be to your community, or it may be across the country, or it may be across the world. But that's between you and God. God's calling is on every single one of our lives. And this calling, number one, is this mandate of missions is a command to acknowledge. It's a command to acknowledge. In Matthew chapter 4, 19 and 20, Jesus is calling his disciples out, and some of them, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Jesus didn't say, when you're financially stable, follow me. He didn't say, when you reach a certain social status, follow me. He didn't say, when you reach a better position in your job, then follow me. He just said, follow me. Wherever you are, wherever you're at, follow him. And you may be sitting here this evening, maybe only saved, maybe a year, 6 months, or maybe just starting getting involved, and you're like, I don't know really how to share the gospel. I'm not familiar with that. And that's okay. Because Jesus says, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We follow Christ. In our obedience, in our Bible reading, in our prayer life, and he will slowly teach us how to do these things. It's a command to acknowledge. You should at least acknowledge. These disciples acknowledged the calling. At least they acknowledged it, and they acted upon it. When my mom... She would give me a command. She'd say, go clean your room. I better not leave her presence before saying, yes, ma'am. Why? Because she wanted to make sure I at least acknowledged what she was telling me. God's calling you to something. At least acknowledge it. Hey, Lord, is this something you want for me? Hey, Lord, is this where you're leading? Well, Lord, I'm not exactly sure what direction, but this seems to be what I feel peace about, so I'm going to start going this way, and then where you lead me, I will follow. It's a command to acknowledge. Number two, this mandate of missions is a call to answer. It's a call to answer. When God called Ezekiel to do things and he answered, and we see in different places in the Bible where God calls his people. He called Samuel, he called Moses, he called Isaiah, and they all said, here am I, send me. Samuel said, speak, for thy servant heareth. Now, this last couple months, I've been trying to catch up on, dentist appointments, eye appointments, all that kind of, physicals, all that kind of thing. So I'm calling doctor's offices, and my insurance company makes sure they cover it. And guess what I get most of the time? voicemail, some kind of answering machine, some kind of, you know, AI or whatever. No, when I call someone, I expect them to answer. I don't call someone with the purpose of, oh, I'm going to call them so I can leave a voicemail. No, you call someone on the phone for the purpose of them answering. You know, sometimes I'm busy or I'm preaching or I'm traveling and someone calls me, I can't get to it right away, so I just send them a voicemail. And I'll listen to their message and then I'll say, okay, when I'm done with this, I'll call them back. But then I forget. For about 2 or 3 days, I'm supposed to call them back. How many times is God calling you? And God, how many times is God calling us? But then we say, Lord, just leave it at the voicemail. When I'm done with my whatever I'm doing here, then I'll get back to it. When I'm done with my family here, I'll go wherever you want. And that's one of the lies the devil puts. Hey, he doesn't say don't do it. He says when you finish what you're doing, then do it. Because you and I both know something else comes up. And something else comes up. Next thing you know, 30 years have passed. And you've not done anything for God. It's a call to answer. Number three, it's a career to accomplish. If you go through Ezekiel's life, he made him being a prophet a lifetime. He spent his entire life being God's spokesman. And we see at a point in Jeremiah's life, in chapter 20, where he's done. He's a prophet. He's been persecuted. He's lost his family. He lost his friends. He's lost everything. And he says, I'm done. I won't speak anymore in your name. Then he says, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire. Shut up in my bones and I could not stay. He could not stop. There's no retirement for a Christian on earth. Our retirement ends when we get to heaven. But as long as we're on earth, as long as we're living, as long as you're breathing, there is someone out there that you can reach for the gospel. So we see this mandate of missions to go. Ezekiel was a yes, sir, kind of a Christian. Read through it. At one point, God wanted him to shave his head and his beard and then keep the hair. I never want to keep my hair. I want to throw it away. Never had any desire to keep my hair. But it said, shave your head, shave your beard, keep the hair. I want you to go down the street, and I want you to build a clay replica of the city of Jerusalem. So I have a wild imagination. I like to imagine what it would look like. And so when I get to books like Daniel and Revelation, like my imagination just explodes. And so I have a wild imagination. So I'm picturing this man, Ezekiel, grown man, he comes up. And by the way, all this time, God told him, I don't want you to say a word. Be silent the entire time. So this man comes up. His name is Ezekiel. He's not saying a word. He's on the streets. He's very busy. And he starts making this sandcastle, if you will. He starts putting these things together, the city, the walls, the buildings. And I don't know what's going on. I know if I was there, I'd kind of look like, what is he doing? Kind of stand off a little bit. And maybe I'll ask, hey, Ezekiel, what are you doing? And he won't answer. I'm like, okay, just give him a space. I don't know. Once he was done with that, God told him, I want you to get your hair, put it around the city, this little replica, and I want to put you in the streets inside that you made. So he starts doing that. And then for all you pyromaniacs out there, he tells Ezekiel, I want you to light on fire. Now, if I was walking down the street, and I saw a pastor doing that on the side of the street, I say, let's go the opposite direction. He's kind of weird. But no, God had him do that for a specific purpose. He was showing them what would happen if Israel, if his children did not repent, there was going to be judgment. So Ezekiel was, yes, anything God asked him to do, Ezekiel did. And God told him, I want you to go to the Valley of Dry Bones. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Number two, not only do we see the mandate of missions, but we see the message of missions. The message of missions. God had Ezekiel speak. In verse number 7, we see, so I prophesied as I was commanded. In verse number 10, we see, so I prophesied as he commanded me. God tells him the exact words he wanted him to say. The exact words. To the T. He had a message to give to these bones. In Matthew, we see the word teach. In Mark, we see the word preach the gospel to every creature. That includes talking. Now, there seems to be, and it's been for a while, but this mentality of, I'm not going to say anything, I think is what's called a silent witness. I'm just going to live my life right in such a way that when they see me, they come up and ask me questions, but I'm not going to go out and talk with them. I'm not going to pursue that. I'm just going to live my own way, live the way God wants me to live and live a Christian life but not say anything. But I'm all for living out your faith, yes, as we should. But the Bible says we need to teach and preach. We need to go and talk. And this was something Ezekiel was given, a command to talk. To prophesy. He had, number one, this message that he had for these bones was a very important message. He had something very important for these bones because without this message, these bones would not live. Without the message God gave him, nothing would happen. These bones had no... unless someone came to them and shared them the gospel... Or not the gospel. It says, unless Ezekiel came and prophesied, these bones would have never been able to live up by themselves. And there are people all over the world, and even in America still, that don't even know who Christ is. How shall they hear without a preacher? We have an important message to give to this people of Spain. Now, I could go over there and teach them all about NFL football. I could go over there and teach them how an American runs things. I could go in there, it's a very socialist country. I could go there and try and teach them what capitalism is. But that's not going to change their lives. What changes lives is the gospel. What causes a drunkard man to come back to his family is the gospel. What causes a wayward child to come back to Christ is the gospel. Number two, it was an inclusive message. It's for everyone. God didn't tell Ezekiel, I want you to just preach to the foot bone or the kneecap or the skull or just the... No, preach to all of them. They all need it. Everyone needs the gospel. Second Peter 3:9 says this, that not willing that any should perish, but that all... should come to repentance. Everyone needs to hear the gospel. And number three, not only is it an important message, not only it is an inclusive message, but it's also an imminent message. Pastor said it already. We're closer now to heaven than we ever have been. I believe the Lord's coming soon. I really do. And when he comes, he better catch us being busy when he comes. It's an imminent message. Not only because Christ is coming soon, but also because we don't know how long we're going to live. I was at a grocery store. I went out to go do some shopping for my wife, and my wife stayed at home. We go together, but she stayed home. And then I went by myself, and she gave me a list of items, no problem. I went in, got my stuff, and one of the items on that list was milk. You say, why are you telling me this? Give me a second. So as I'm leaving, I paid for everything and I have everything. I'm leaving, and as I leave, and I get outside the store, and leaning up against the wall was this giant of a man smoking a cigarette. Huge, 6'7", probably about 200, maybe 300 pounds of pure muscle. This guy was huge. You know, no, I just had a muscle shirt. It was a nice sunny day, and he had his, you know, tattooed all of that. This guy looked tough. And then I feel a knocking on my heart. I usually usually carry tracts with me everywhere I go. And I heard almost like a knocking on my heart, the Holy Spirit saying, you should not just give him a tract, but you should probably witness to him. And I said, but Lord, see how big he is? And it's almost like he came back and said, yeah, I know. But do you know how big I am? I said, good point, God, good point. But do you know how small I am? I'm 5'9", barely hit 150 pounds. He can squash me like a toothpick. He said, I know. But do you know how big I am? Well, God, I have milk. Now, this is my thinking, all right? This is my thought process, all right? God gave me money through income, whatever it may be. I realize that we ought to be good stewards of whatever he's given us, and money is one of them. Now, I'm thinking, Lord, if I stop and I give him the gospel, this milk is going to get cold. It's going to get warm. And if it gets warm, it gets spoiled, and I just wasted your money. I'm a bad steward. I can't do that. Trying to argue with God never works out. I ended up going to the car, did not give him a track. I got in the car, I started it up, and you didn't do what I asked. But God, you didn't do what I asked. The very least you could have given the track. The very least. All right, Lord, I'll do it. Got out of the car, went to where the guy was, and he wasn't there. Wasn't there. That grocery store is 2 blocks from my house. I go there a lot, never seen him again. Never seen him again. I don't know what that means. I know for a fact it means I miss out on a great opportunity to share the gospel. And that also may mean that I may have been the last person I had the opportunity to share. And that's something I'm going to have to take an account for when I get to heaven. But I pray this, Lord, let me never to miss an opportunity like that. You may be thinking, well, I'm going to share the gospel with my coworker. Next time we work our shift together, you may not make it to the next shift. They may not make it there. Well, Brother Stephen, you're just trying to scare us. No, I'm just trying to be real. There are people all around the world that need the gospel, and they're dying, going to hell every single day. And what are we doing? We're just sitting here. It's just our foreign no more. I'm comfortable here. We have a message we got to give out. And notice that Ezekiel said the exact words to these bones. He didn't change the words so he wouldn't offend nobody. He didn't take some words out to make it more relevant. No, everything that God wanted Ezekiel to say, he said. And when that happened, the impossible was made possible. We have a message to give. It's a message of missions. Number three, we have the mandate of missions, the message of missions, and last of all, the means of missions. Brother Lyons, how can I be involved in this thing of worldwide missions? Number one, through your prayer. I think every missionary will say the first thing on the list that they want from you is prayer. Because prayer is powerful. Lots of times we have the habit of making prayer a last resort instead of making it a first response. We just do everything we can humanly possible. And we say, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have this plan. I have the other plan. I got plan A, B, and C. And then when all that's fallen through, okay, God, well, what's your plan? It should have been his plan first to begin with. Put an example. A couple months before, in our engagement stage, we were getting ready for the wedding, I was planning the honeymoon. I had 4 plans for the honeymoon in case it didn't work out. I had a plan A, B, C, and D. 4 different things. If this one didn't work, I'll go to the next one. If this didn't work, so I was out of all that ready. And A month before the wedding, in 1 week, all four plans, gone. I was like, now, there was a man in the church who knew my family very well. I had a nice little secluded cabin up in the mountains of Vermont, and he allowed us to stay there. And it just so happened. I think the Lord really worked that the only time that this cabin was open was the week after our wedding. That's the only time. And so the Lord provided that. Sometimes we scramble. We say, Lord, I got to do this. I got to do the other. But then we say, Lord, just stay on the sidelines. And when I'm done with all this, then you can do yours. That's how it should go. Through your prayer. Pray for your missionaries. They need your prayers. You know, missionaries are people just like you and me. You know, missionaries deal with depression. Missionaries deal with marital issues. Missionaries deal with problems with their kids. Missionaries deal with sickness and illness. Missionaries deal with mental illness as well. Missionaries deal with a lot of things that they can't put in their prayer cards or prayer letters. And they deal with all of this, but they're in a different country, which a lot of times makes it a little more difficult. They can't get the medication they need. They can't get the treatment they need because they may be a foreigner or there may be some stipulation. Pray for your missionaries. And yeah, I say this as well. When you pray for your missionaries, don't pray, oh, pray for missionary so-and-so, God bless them, amen. No. If you went to pastor and said, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I have this issue. And he just, okay, let's, and he says, all right, let's pray right now. Well, God bless so-and-so, amen. Is that how you want to be prayed with? Would that be the prayer that you would want for yourself? Why do we do that with our missionaries? Through your prayer. Number two, not only through your prayer, but through your provision. Through your provision. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is commending the church in Macedonia. He's telling the Corinthians, hey, there's this small church in Macedonia who's given monetarily. And I know money is a funny subject, and I understand, but we have to realize everything revolves around money. Nothing can be done without money. We need money to travel. We need money to build. We need money to print tracts. We need money to send things over and to mail and all that stuff. Bills, insurance. We need the money. But Paul says the Macedonians gave above that they were able. But then, catch this, he also says he gave of themselves. They gave themselves first. Amen. First. See, when we're obedient like we're supposed to, when we're serving like we're supposed to, when we're reading our Bible like we're supposed to, when we're praying like we're supposed to, when we're sharing the gospel like we're supposed to, when we're in the will of God like where we're supposed to be, this giving would not be a problem at all. Maybe when an offering plate comes by, maybe instead of giving a couple dollars in, maybe you should give your life first. Because when we give ourselves to Him and allow us to be used by Him, this giving is not even an issue. Not even an issue. But number three, we see one, number one, through our prayer. Number two, through our provision. Number three, through your presence. Through your presence. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 22 and we'll finish there. God didn't have Ezekiel, how did I put this? The spirit of Ezekiel was not in that valley. The body of Ezekiel was. He was there physically. And God allowed him to be used physically there. I know we have live streaming and recordings. And I understand that. And that's a very useful tool. But whatever happened to the old-fashioned going out and sharing the gospel when I went with someone? Whatever happened to that? In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 30, we see one of the saddest verses in the Bible. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand the gap before me for the land that should not destroy it, but I found none. Now, having a church like this is awesome. You have AC, you have comfortable pews, and you have your fellowship, you have a good pastor, you have good staff, you got friendly members, you can encourage one another, you have conversations, and you're comfortable. And it's good to be, I guess, have that level of comfort. But when that level of comfort goes above our calling, amen, something's got to change. We got to get our priorities straight. My dad was preaching at a church, at a missions conference, and a young man, a teenager actually, 16, 17 years old, came up and he wanted to surrender his life to missions. And my dad went down and talked with him a little bit. A couple minutes later, after they finished their talk, his parents came up to my dad. They said, don't you ever talk to my son about ministry again. This is in the church. We want him to study, become a basketball player, and want him to have a successful career. There's that comfort. You know, as a personal testimony, I didn't want to go into missions. My grandfather was a missionary. My dad was a missionary. Everyone expected Stephen Lyons to be a missionary. And because of that expectation, I didn't want to do it. I already kind of mentioned a little bit. I worked with Chick-fil-A for 7 years. I was in upper management. I was on track to own my own Chick-fil-A. They would have paid for me to go to a seminary in Georgia at Chick-fil-A headquarters to own my own one. And my idea was I'll have a Chick-fil-A on one side of the street, start a church on the other side of the street, and that way when all the proceeds I get from Chick-fil-A, I put in the church, and boom, easy peasy, nice and cheesy. Not a problem. That's my comfort talking, not my calling. And too many Christians, too many people, their comfort takes priority over God's calling. Can Ezekiel 22:30 be said of New Heights Baptist Church? God's looking for a man among you to stand for you to stand in the gap between you and your family, between you and your coworker, between you and some friends, between you and a country. I don't know. I don't know how God's dealing with you. I don't know what God's calling is in your life. Like I said in Sunday school, that's only between you and Him. There's this word that I think has no meaning anymore today. It's this word called commitment. I've seen so many employees not be very committed to their job, and it's frustrating as a manager. People aren't committed to their jobs. People aren't committed to their church. People aren't committed to their marriages. People aren't committed to their kids. Kids aren't committed to their parents. That word means nothing now. And what commitment looks like, and you've probably seen this example before, but you get a blank piece of paper and on top you put to do. And at the very, very bottom you sign your name. And you say, okay, God, I got this to do this. I signed it. Now you fill in the blank. Wherever you lead me, I'll go. That's what Ezekiel did. We see twice in that chapter, I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied as He commanded me. So, what bone do you have to pick with missions? What is stopping you to be involved? Now, I understand God doesn't call everyone to go. If everyone here became a missionary and left, New Heights would cease to exist. And pastor would be without a job. No, we need some people to go. We need some people to give. Well, all of us can pray at least. This thing of missions was not something some man woke up one morning and said, oh, I have a wonderful plan for worldwide missions. No, this is something God's put in place, and that's when the local church, a faithful local church such as this, and we have a faithful missionary, Bible calls them co-laborers. The local church is not more important than the missionary. The missionary is not more important than the local church. Without the missionary, New Heights Baptist Church could not reach the world for the gospel. Because what you're doing when you support a missionary, they're going in your stead to go to places you would never move, to talk to people you would never meet and reach them for the gospel. And we expect our missionaries to go and share. And that is a very biblical expectation, to share the gospel. But shouldn't the missionaries have that same expectation of New Heights Baptist Church as well? Without the local church, the missionary could not stay on the field. You need each other. So you may not go, but you can give, but you can also pray. But never say, there's no way I can go. Or I'm too old. Doesn't matter. I'm too young. Doesn't matter. Oh, you can put any excuse. We had a missionary. He surrendered to missions. And he surrendered at 82 years old. And he's not a foreign missionary. What he does is he goes to missionaries and he spends time with them and he encourages them. Sometimes he will help with the church so that maybe the missionary can have a week or two of just a little bit of downtime, a little bit to themselves, saying, okay, a little bit of rest. That's his ministry. But he surrendered at 82 years old. Will you surrender to God's calling? It may not be to a different country. It may be maybe being involved in the ministry. Maybe being more involved in your church. I'm pretty sure if you ask Pastor what you could do, he have a list of things. I'm sure he could use the help. But let us not turn away from a calling, whatever it may be. Whatever it may be. Ezekiel was there, and when Ezekiel was obedient, he saw the impossible be made possible. When God's people are where they're supposed to be, when God's people are obedient as they're supposed to be, and they're sharing the gospel, and they're witnessing, and they're discipling, and baptizing, and they're being obedient, being faithful in the word, and living, applying it to their lives. When they become vessels or instruments of God, we can see the impossible be made possible. We serve a great God, who gave us a great sacrifice. With that great sacrifice, giving us great salvation. And with that great salvation, we have a great message to share. What are you doing about it? We have it. It's now our responsibility what we're going to do with it. What are you going to do with God's calling on your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening, Lord. I know my voice isn't as strong as it usually is, Lord, but I believe I preached something that you wanted me to preach. Lord, I please pray for New Heights Baptist Church. And you're using them in a great way in different ministries. And Lord, please be with the members, be with the pastor. Show them a clear way to go. Show them your calling for their life. Lord, is anybody here who's struggling with this calling of God, maybe to missions, maybe to ministry, full-time ministry, pastor, preacher, Sunday school teacher, or maybe just be faithful in the church. Lord, help them to obey. Lord, give them the courage to just follow you. Lord, but in order to do that first, we got to be saved. Lord, you gave us, a great sacrifice. You sacrificed your only begotten Son to die for our sins. And Lord, frankly, you can't use us if we're not saved first. Lord, I pray to anyone here who's struggling with salvation, who's struggling with, they're not exactly sure where they're going when they die, whether it's heaven or hell, help them to get that squared away first, because they can't be used if they're not saved. Not for your specific calling for their life. Lord, I thank you again for the church. Lord, I thank you again just for your grace and mercy. Lord, I thank you for your word. that we can glean from. Help us to learn from Ezekiel. Help us to be yes, sir, kind of a Christian. Help us to be willing to do everything and commit ourselves to you. And all these things I ask in your name. Amen. Pastor.